waymaker today. Do you believe it? Give him praise like you believe it today, church. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord, today for that word. Yes. You know, there's a story in the Bible that we're all so familiar with. God's people were held in captivity for hundreds of years in Egypt. And God decided to send a man to deliver them. One day, after many plagues and situations and challenges and trials, those people decided to leave. God paved the way for them to leave Egypt, straight out of bondage, straight out of slavery. They entered a desert. It should have been a very short trip. But God gave them signs along the way, the scripture says. During the day, there's a cloud that would guide them and direct them. And at night, there was a pillar of fire that they followed. And in the desert, when they got hungry, he sent manna. He sent food from heaven. And they came to this spot called Rephidim. And they encamped there. They stopped. But the problem there was no water there. And they were very low on water. They had none left. You know, and after everything that they had watched and everything that they had experienced, they come to a place with no water and they start to moan and cry out to Moses saying, "You brought us to this place. There's no way. We will die of thirst here. We're going to die here and it's your fault." Moses went to heaven and said, "God, you've showed up all the other times. I know you're going to show up now. What do you want me to do?" God says, the scripture says, he goes, "Get the elders. Go grab some elders to bring them alongside you. And I will direct you to go in front of the people and find a rock. And you shall use the staff that split that river. And you're going to change their lives right there. And they're going to watch it." And Moses said, "Yes, Lord, I'll go do it." There was no quarreling, no fighting, no, "God, there's no way this is going to happen. I'm not going to go out there and make a fool of myself. I'll take my witnesses. I'll go, there's the rock." He takes the staff, he strikes the rock, and water gushes out. And they thirsted no more. He obeyed. And the name of that location was changed that day. Scripture says now it's called Massa, which means tested. It should have been trusted, but it's called tested because people tested God. See, there's two words that showed up there. They selected the tested and not the trusted. We're going to test God because we don't trust him anymore. Even though he did all these other things for us and we watched all those other things, we don't trust him anymore. So let's just test him. Come on, God. Where are you now? But you know something, church? God delivered. He delivered. He delivered then, he'll deliver today, he'll deliver for you, he'll deliver for me. You just got to continue to trust him and not test him. When you push the testing aside and stop saying, God, where are you? And say, God, I trust you. Where you're going to come, I don't know, but I trust you're going to show up right when I need you to show up. Right when they were at their thirst, God shows up and delivers them by water from a rock. He didn't make it start to rain. He didn't open up a river. He let it come from a rock. Church, do you believe you serve a God that can make water come from a rock? Let's give him praise today, because I do too. I believe that. I believe it. Put your hands towards heaven today and pray with me, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord. I'm not going to test you today, Lord. I'm not going to do those things that I read about. Lord God, I'm just going to trust you today, Lord God. I don't see the answer. I don't feel the answer. I don't know where the answer is going to come from, Lord, but I'm just going to trust you, Lord God. Lord God, don't let me test you today. Lord God, let me trust that you said you will deliver. You said you will walk with me day in and day night. Lord God, no matter what I go through, the trials, the tribulations, your scripture says, I will guide you. I will direct you. I will hold your hand and I will bring you through. Lord God, today I believe that, Lord, above all things, Lord God, today. Lord God, this day I believe, Lord God. I'm not going to test you, Lord God, but I am going to praise you today. Lord God, let us be faithful in the house of Cross Point Church today. Lord God, let us build our trust more in you. Let our faith overflow today. Let us have church in your house today, Lord God. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Cross Point Church, give the Lord some praise today. Hallelujah. You look at somebody as you're seated and say, I'm trusting today and I'm not testing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rev. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Wow. Did you see the weather report for this week? Pastor Mike talked about that during the announcements. 70 degrees this coming week. 70 degrees, yep. See, thank you so much for praying with your pastor, right? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of God, and we believe that it's going to be warm this week, right? We don't love the cold weather, but we're okay with it, right? Hey, no, thank you. I knew I was in the right church. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. What a big day we're going to have today. Pastor Mike was talking about some of the things we're going to be doing. Thank you for joining on Facebook and on YouTube and all the other platforms, the online church at seapoint.church. Thank you so much. If you're watching or listening on the podcast later this week, thanks so much for tuning in. My goodness, we have so many ways that we reach people, not only today live, but throughout the week. So thanks so much. I saw so many. I was talking to many of them this morning before I came out. So many people watching all throughout the United States were so appreciative that they're blessing us with their presence today. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Zach Fortunato for joining us last week. That was a blessing. What a blessing to watch young people move into the missions field. And we went to lunch after service, and he says, Pastor, do you know how old I am? Because you say I'm young, and do you know how old I am? And Pastor Mike and Christine were there, and Nicole. And I said, no, but I know you're a whole lot younger than me. Right? He said, well, I'm only 31. Right? That's young, right? That's still really young, especially to go into the missions field. So we were just thankful that he was here. Hey, we do have a business meeting right after service today. We need your presence, members and non-members alike. Come and join a nice luncheon with your church family today in the fellowship hall. We're going to conduct some business, not tons of business. We have four board seats, board members' seats that are vacated by our bylaws, and people are running for those. You'll hear more about that here in the business meeting. So please come in and help us out and bless your church family and fellowship together, and we'll do some quick business, and we'll get you out of here, but we're going to get together and eat, right? We do this every year, once a year, so thanks so much. Hey, we are going into the year of impact. We're in month three. Can you believe it? We launched the year of impact 2025 with 21 days of prayer and fasting. No other way of launching a year of impact other than with prayer and fasting, right? Prayer and fasting is how we did it. We moved into Vision Sunday. We talked about a God-given vision inspires action and gives direction. You want direction, you want action, that's a vision. We talked about Vision 2025 for Cross Point Church. We talked about the church vision, and we talked about your personal vision. God is going to bless you or has already blessed you with some place, how, some situation for you to go out and impact somebody for Jesus, transform them. And we believe by the end of 2025, the worship center here will be filled, doubled in capacity. That's what we're believing. That's the vision of impact. Yes, thank you, Charles. Charles is clapping. Thank you, Charles. Anybody else, right? We believe it. Does anybody else believe that at all? Thank you. Yes. We believe for our online presence to be expanded as well. We moved into an impact series, message series for 2 weeks. If you remember that, I taught you God positions you to make a difference. He places you into a position to make a difference, to impact people. Then the second week we talked about you have influence inside your circle of the people that you come into contact with. You have a position of influence that God bless you with. What are you going to do with that in 2025? What are you going to do with it? We talked about that. We moved right into the secondhand faith series, knowledge or firsthand experience. Do you want to live on knowledge of Jesus, or do you want to have that firsthand experience, not only once, but many times, right? We moved into talking about, are we living on inherited, borrowed, or imitated faith? That's not our own, right? We're imitating somebody else, we borrow somebody else, we inherit it from mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, whatever, you know, but it's never been our own personal firsthand experience. We talked about going from echoes to transformation. I hear about Jesus, but I want to be transformed by Jesus, by that firsthand experience. And we talked about you are the echo of Jesus to other people. You are the echo. For them to get transformed, you have to start echoing Jesus in their lives by what you say and what you do, right? And then we talked about being transformed for one reason, to transform others. And then Zach Fortunato shows up last week and taught us obedience and hope. What a way to launch into impact year 2025. What a way. Today I'm going to launch a series called Thoughts. Our thoughts. If you want impact in 2025, that requires us to change our thoughts. And we're going to start that today. You know, I remember the story of the Wright brothers when they were looking to fly. Right? Remember that story? You know the history, right? People would tell them that you can't do that. They would see them building this device, this thing, this machine, right? And you read the history about it, and people would say, no, there's no way. What? You can't fly? No, we can fly. We can do it. And why did they end up flying? They thought differently. They thought differently. Everybody else thought the same, but here's a couple brothers that were thinking differently. And they thought so differently that they ended up flying. And many of you, if not all of you, are the recipient of them thinking differently. If you've ever flown on a plane, commercial or otherwise, there's two brothers that thought differently. Just as human flight required a shift in thinking to think differently, so does spiritual transformation and impact. God wants you to think differently. We're going to talk about that. What about some science illustrations? Anybody into science? Ever hear of neuroplasticity? Neuroplasticity, ever hear that word? It's the study of the brain and how it changes based on your repeated thoughts. Your brain starts to change based on the type of thoughts in your head. And if they're repeated over and over and over again, you start to exhibit the behavior of the thought. Wow. Science. Paul had it in Romans 12:2, when he said, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God, change the way I think. Then you'll learn to know God's will. And we've talked about that. The bonus is learning God's will. But what happens first? Your thoughts got to change. When your thoughts change, as you're going to see later on in my message, I'm going to challenge your thoughts and I'm going to challenge the way you think. The way you think may not be the way you should be thinking. And you're going to see some things here very shortly that your thought process might start to change because you might be thinking a little bit differently here in a few minutes. Ever hear the placebo effect? Like the, right? That's that sugar pill they give people. It's a test, right? So they give people this sugar pill and say, listen, this is medicine for whatever. And they think it's real medicine. And they take it, and they take it, and take it. And guess what happens? Studies show that a lot of them get better. Why? Because the power of their thoughts is, I'm going to get better. And guess what? They get better. Placebo effect. What about psychology? Pastor Mike knows about this. Cognitive behavior therapy, CBT, right, Pastor Mike? You know about that? Pastor Mike being a clinical counselor. Negative thoughts lead to anxiety and depression. Ongoing negative thoughts will make you depressed and create anxiety in your life. The power of you thinking, your thoughts, can change whether you're going to be have anxiety or depression. Negative, 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 right? The glass is half full, the glass is half empty. You're an optimist or you're a pessimist, right? Ever hear that before? Ah, you're such a pessimist, right? More people say you're a pessimist than an optimist. I don't hear it like, wow, Pastor, you're such an optimist. But people will say, man, you're pessimistic. Negative thoughts change your behavior, right? The Apostle Paul, again, was ahead of his time in Philippians 4:8 when he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, you know the scripture, one final thing, fix your thoughts. That means maintain your thoughts this way on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about those things. They are excellent and they're worthy of your praise. Concentrate on the good things. Doesn't say you're not going through some challenges, but just stay concentrating on the good things because of the power of your thought. Anybody into music besides Nicole and the team? Anybody love music? Ever hear of Handel's Messiah? Right? Like this powerful musical, what's it called, Nick? It's like a, it's huge, right? It was, you know, I'm reading about it, and I've heard it, and I've read about it, and it's amazing, but that guy put that together in 24 days. Impossible. If you ever listen to it, it's impossible. But he did it in 24 days, and you would ask yourself, how, and we hear it today, right? How would that powerful presentation of music be done in 24 days? Because his thoughts were consumed by Scripture. That's why in the song you hear, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Right, Nick? Right, right, worship team? Those that know music better than your pastor? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And the glory of the Lord shall... It just resonates inside of their heads. And that's why it comes so quickly. And it's easy because Scripture changes your thought process when it's embedded in your head. Your thoughts change. Your behavior change. Your actions change. And you think different. And you act different. Any movie fans in here? You a movie fan? Yeah, see? Anybody here of The Lion King? Yeah. Hey. I don't know, folks, but that sounded like my daughter. Right? That sounded like my daughter. Maybe not. But I know she's a Disney fanatic. The Lion King. Anybody remember when Simba runs from his past and forgets who he is? You know, I put this in my notes. I'm thinking, I don't remember that. I love that movie. I don't remember. Rafiki comes up and says, you are more than what you have become. He's trying to get back in his thoughts of who he is. It's even in the movies. Right? Even in the movies. This thought. Our thoughts are about our identity, and they affect our destiny. Our thoughts in our head about our identity affect our destiny. C.S. Lewis says it like this: the battle for your soul was won or lost in your mind. Years ago, who was it who wrote the book Battlefield of the Mind? No, no. Joyce Meyer, thank you. Wrote that book. That's years ago, Battlefield of the Mind, because your thoughts and your thinking is what determine your actions, right? Thinking highlights the dynamic nature of thought. An ongoing process where ideas are formed, evaluated, and sometimes revised before being expressed. So who's doing all the thinking? Well, we are. We are. Who's influencing all our thinking? That depends. That depends. I'm going to try today to get you thinking. I'm going to try today to get you to be influenced a little bit differently in your thinking process. I pray that when you leave here today, you're going to be thinking a little bit different. We've touched on this in a few messages, series in the past, but we're going to do a series on it. So how about this? Have you heard this? Now, your pastor hears this a lot, especially when I was a kid. What were you thinking? My mom said that to me more times than not, right? Son, what were you thinking? And before I would even answer, she would tell me what I'm thinking. Not very much, right? Not very well. What were you thinking? I still hear it today, right? Someone thinks you messed up. What were you thinking, Pastor? What were you thinking? I don't know, right? What are we thinking? Today, my message is entitled, I'm Thinking. Today, I'm going to think. Now, that sounds really dangerous. It really is, right? Some of us shouldn't be thinking too hard, right? Seriously, right? Maybe me. Maybe I should be thinking that hard. What are you thinking? Let's think about when you're considering doing something. You're considering something. You would say it like this. You'll go, I'm giving it some thought, right? I'm giving it some thought. Get back to me. I'm giving it some thought. You know, we'd ask all kinds of people if they wanted to run for board of the church, like we're going to vote on. And some, you know, would say, I'm giving it some thought. I'm going to pray about it. Typical response. Nothing wrong with that, right? Let me think it over. Let me think it over. Would you head up a ministry at the church? Let me think it over. Let me think it over, right? What about delaying your decision? You say things like, let me sleep on it. Or I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you on that, Pastor, right? I'll get back to you. I need some time to process this in my head. I just need some time. I got to mull some things over, right? What about when we're uncertain? How do we think? We think like this. I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm still working on it. I'm still considering it. What about this one? I'm just on the fence. I don't even get that one. Like, what? I'm just on the fence, right? I'm just on the fence. I don't know what to do. What about expressing some thoughts, some ongoing thoughts? Yeah, that's on my mind, Pastor. It's on my mind. I'm thinking about it. It's on my mind. I'm brainstorming some ideas. Let me get back to you, right? This one, I am running through all the possibilities. Then you go back to them and they say, I'm still running through all the possibilities. And then you go back to them and say, Pastor, I'm not through all the possibilities. And I'd say, there's too many possibilities. And then the response is, and I'm thinking about them. And I'm going to think about all of them before I commit to doing anything. I'm going to think about all the possibilities, right? We'll be here for another 30 years. Because that's an endless, right? That's how we talk. I'm brainstorming ideas. I'm running through all the possibilities. Proverbs 23:7. Let's dive in. Get ready. Buckle your seatbelts. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, right away, I know right away, half the people in the worship center and watching online are already thinking this. Men don't think. Right? Men don't think. Right, ladies? Come on. Do the men think, seriously? Or do you have to think for them most of the time? As Pastor Christine's over there like this. My gosh. Right? Men don't think. Solomon, what are you talking about? As a man thinks, what do you think that means today, church? What do you think that scripture means? As a man thinks. In his heart, so is he. This is what's called Solomon's 30 wise sayings. It's called the words of the wise. And we think that means that man's inner thoughts, which really means man or woman, of course you know that, our inner thoughts dictate our actions. As we think inside, that dictates what we do. Right? Like, I've even used it like that, I think. But let me get you thinking. I'm not sure it really actually means that. Some Bible scholars are really divided on this. What does that mean? Some think it's a warning against eating with stingy people and arrogant people and envious people. What? Why? Well, because in Proverbs 23:6, right before that scripture, it reads like this. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Don't desire his delicacies. For which a man thinks, so is he. So really, the inference is really on maybe some stingy people, arrogant people. We're thinking this way, but maybe it's really over here, right? Some think it means cautious about who you fellowship with. Now, Pastor Mike said this morning in announcements, I want everybody to come to the luncheon, but I can't sit with all of you, right? I won't be able to sit with all of you. I'm thinking, I'm watching and, you know, listening to this. Wow, he's being real cautious. No, he's not. He can't be. He just can't physically be with everybody at the same time, right? But here in this scripture, some people, some Bible scholars think it's more about evaluating the person, the stinginess of them, as opposed to really talking about what's in your heart and what you're going to do. They're talking about maybe a haughty person, like a self-righteous person, and there's an evaluation going on there. See, we think something that may not be exactly what it is. And wait till we get to how God thinks here in a second. What's your thoughts on the word repentance? Oh, church, I grew up with this one. I grew up hearing this repentance word a lot. I grew up in the era of repentance. That's what I called it, right? You better repent, right? Come on, anybody grow up in that era? Come on, you better, Brad, you better repent. You better repent or you're going to hell. You got to do this repentance. You've got to do it today. You've got to repent. Okay? That made me feel like I'm so bad that I'm doing such bad things. Now, I'm not saying I didn't do bad things, right? I'm not saying I was always doing good things, because that would not be true. And I heard that repent word. Got to repent. But it got me thinking that I must be pretty bad, because I always have to repent. Right? That's what the repentance word is, because I kept my mom and people would say, you got to repent, you got to repent, you got to repent. Got me thinking that I'm not a great guy, and I've got to constantly go to heaven and say, I'm sorry. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Later, I got a little bit more mature in my faith than I knew. But let me go down a road with you. It made me feel bad. The dictionary says repent means to feel sorry for the past conduct. And I did. Regret for some actions and have severe remorse about yourself. Well, church, when the dictionary tells you that's what it is, that's got to be what it is, right? The dictionary's never wrong, is it? It's always right. You know, like we could go to the dictionary and look up a word and say, that's what it means. But what happens if it doesn't? My mom is wrong on repentance. The generation of repentance that we heard all the time, is that like not wrong? Is that like what? I'm not as bad as I thought I was? Yay, right? I'm better than I thought. Because I want to take you down the road and talk about repentance a little bit. Look what Paul writes in Romans 2:4. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Wait, I thought it was my badness that led me to repentance. Or is it the goodness of God, Paul says. So is that my badness and not the greatest, I'm thinking differently, or is it just he's that good? Choices, like right, what? I'm thinking a little different. Listen to this. Do you think we push ourselves to God because we know how bad we are? Or do you think we're drawn to God because we experience how good he is? I learned something. I'm thinking differently. I'm not as bad as I thought. Well, I'm bad. But when you say repentance, it's the God is drawing me to his goodness, not me because of my badness being forced to him. What? Right? The era, the generation of the word repentance, that can't be right, Pastor. I assure you it is. Without God's goodness, there's nothing to be drawn to. There's nothing to be repenting to without God's goodness. Without God's grace, there's nothing. You have nothing to say, I repent, or I'm bad and I'm going to head towards. And let me tell you, I don't have enough in me, church, when I'm doing bad things to force me to God without God's goodness drawing me to him. The power is in the goodness of God drawing me to him, not because I'm so bad or I did something wrong that pushes me to repent, to run back to God. Without God's goodness, I got nothing to run to. And God, thank you for helping me think a little bit more clear, right? Jesus goes out in the wilderness for 40 days. You know that story? To overcome Satan's temptations, getting ready for his public ministry. To pray and fast, right? 40 days. And after 40 days, he comes out of the wilderness. And you would think that he would be jumping right into public miracles and preaching and doing all these powerful things that we read about, right? Healing, making people walk again, raising people from the dead. Jesus comes out of the wilderness, and before he does all that, he clarifies something. He clarifies something. Matthew 4:17. The first recorded words of Jesus when he comes out, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. What's he talking about? He's talking about that word repentance that I just talked about. The first thing Jesus preached wasn't about miracles and blessings or prosperity. It's about change the way you think. It's time to think differently. And he looked at this word repent, and it goes like this. True repentance means turning away from human ways of thinking and aligning with God's way of thinking, God's goodness. He comes out of the wilderness to say, listen, I want you to think different now. There's a kingdom here. He represented that kingdom, but he wants you to start thinking differently. And the first thing he says is that. Here's how we're going to start thinking. And then he says, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus was announcing a new way of life. God's kingdom had arrived, and people needed to think differently to enter it. I got to think different. I can't think the way I used to think. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is near. He was the kingdom, right? He's near. He's right among you. And if you want to get into that kingdom and you got to repent, you got to go through him. He's right there beside you. But you got to think differently. You can't think on the laws anymore that you lived by for all those years. You've got to think different. And he introduces us to the words, I'm thinking different. Got to think different, he says. We're going to think different. When we leave here today, we're going to think different. He says, I am thinking, but am I thinking like God? Like, when we start thinking, are we like thinking like God thinks? How does God think? Wouldn't that be a big question for us to answer? How does God think? What about this one? I heard this one a lot. What do you think God thinks about that? Like, I'd hear, like, you got to repent. And then it would be, the next one would be, what do you think God thinks about what you just did? Talk about getting the kid to think different, right? Got to think different. Scared me to think different, right? It's not what Jesus wants. He just introduced a way of thinking to change our thought process because he had arrived. And now you have a selection process to think differently. See, you have that selection process today to think differently. So when you say, I'm thinking, it should be, I'm thinking how God thinks. How does God think? How does God think? Does God think? Of course he does, right? Let's talk about how God thinks. You can't think differently and think like God unless you really understand how God thinks, right? We can all agree on that, right? Got to know how God thinks. Well, let's talk about how God thinks. Anybody remember the story of Peter walking on the water, right? I'm using some things because I want you to really identify and understand how God thinks. So the Bible talks about Peter walking on the water. We have preached messages. Every pastor has preached messages about Peter walking on the water, right? There's Jesus in the distance walking on the water. Peter takes the faith and he steps out of the boat. He starts walking towards Jesus and he loses focus on Jesus and he gets his eyes on the water in the storm and he starts to sink. How many times, right? We've heard that story, right? I'm going to give you a different version today. I'm going to teach you a little bit different about how God thinks. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be the same story, but you're going to see some different things to get you thinking. So Jesus feeds 5,000 people, right? A few loaves of bread, a couple fishes. He multiplies it. He feeds everybody, right? What a miracle. It's one of the big miracles in God's word, right? So he feeds everybody. So everybody's stuffed, and they're like, oh, man, we're done. And the crowd is starting to dissipate, right? And Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples. He says, listen, you take the rowboat, you head on the other side of the lake. I'll meet you there later. What's he thinking? I'm going to meet you on the other side of the lake. The lake that Peter walked on the water. I'm going to meet you on the other side. Matthew shows that story of Peter walking on the water. John and Mark say the story, but they don't talk about Peter walking on the water. They give you the other version. But we so concentrate on Peter walking on the water, but we don't look at the other version. Why? Jesus is thinking different. Watch what happens. Matthew 14:22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat after the big feast and go ahead of him to the other side while they dismiss the rest of the crowd. Go on the other side. So the focus, Jesus is thinking, I know you're going to take the boat and go on the other side of the lake. I will meet you there. No mention of storms, no mention of walking on water, nothing. Hop in the boat. Go on the other side. I'll beat you there. Sounds like a good plan, right? So what do? They get in the boat. They start rowing. Mark 6:47-51. And when evening came. Now, evening was probably sometime around 6 to 9 o'clock. And let me tell you why I think that. Watch, okay? The boat was about out in the sea. And he was alone on the land, that's Jesus, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them, right? They couldn't fire up the gas engine, right? They couldn't hit the throttles and go against the wind. They're rowing. And Jesus is looking out. Now, some scholars believe that he was looking out 2 to 3 miles out in the sea, in the ocean, pardon me, not the ocean, the sea. And so, you know, that's a long ways to see somebody rowing painfully, right? He's Jesus. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, if it's 2 to 3 miles or 10 miles or half a mile, but the scripture says they're painfully rowing, trying to break, you know, through the wind. It's in the evening, and it says, and about fourth watch of the night. Now, church, they're under Roman time. Okay, I'm going to teach you a little bit about Roman time, because the Israelites, they're under Roman time at this time. And Roman time says like this: in the evening, there are 4 watches or time periods. It starts at 6, goes to 9, that's the first one. 9 to 12 is the second one. 12 to 3 a.m. is the third one, watch of time. And the fourth one is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Scripture says, right, say, fourth watch of the night. That means it's somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., right? But the scripture also says they take off in the boat in the evening. So that's somewhere between probably the first watch of time, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. You get that? So there's like 6 hours of them out on the sea. Doing what? Rowing. Right? That's what that means, okay? So they're out there rowing, trying to get through the wind, and Jesus sees them, and it's been about 6 hours. I don't know about you, but I'd be tired. Right? Jesus sees them. So it says, in about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But look what it says next. He meant to pass them by. He meant to go by them, walking on the sea. Remember, I'll meet you on the other side. You're fighting the waves. You're working hard. It's a workout, right? Here comes Jesus just strolling along on the water. He sees them, but what is his plan? What is he thinking? I'm going right on by. Why? Because the scripture says, I'm going right on by. That means he anticipated just to walk on by them and see them on the other side, right? But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for all they saw him were terrified. They didn't recognize him, right? They're not thinking that that's Jesus, even though he said, listen, I'm going to meet you on the other side. They're thinking, wow, that's a long ways around the sea to meet me on the other side if you're walking, or you've got to row behind us because you didn't come with us in the boat. You've got to catch up and we'll meet you. We're 6 hours ahead of you. Right? What are you thinking? Of course they don't think he's just come strolling along. Here's what the scripture really, so he's strolling along, and there's the boat, and this is what the scripture, he meant to pass him by. Hey guys, how you doing? I'll meet you on the other side. Isn't that what it said, right? That's what it says. He's thinking, I'll meet you on the other side. They're thinking, we'll see him on the other side at some point. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. So they're thinking different. Jesus looks at him. He's thinking, I got to walk on by it. But no, he starts to think different. This is how God thinks. Okay? It says in the scripture, but immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid. Jesus showed up. He meant to walk on by, but Jesus starts to think, they're having a tough time. I'm going to help them out. And of course, Matthew depicts the Peter walking on the water in that situation. But Jesus all along was thinking, I'm just going to walk on by. But there they are fighting against the waves, just like you and I fight in life. We start to think this way, but Jesus is thinking, I'm walking on the water, there's their boat. I can walk on by, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to walk on by. I'm going to stop and I'm going to help them. I'm going to stop and help them. See, church, we think it's too late. I'm too tired. I can't make it. Jesus says, I'm with you even in the darkest moments in the middle of the sea, right? We think in panic. I'm struggling for so long. Where's God? I can't take it any longer. Where's my God? God thinks like this. He thinks in timing. It's 6 hours ago. They left. I'm going to catch them because they're rowing against the wind, and I'm not subjected to the wind. I think differently. The wind doesn't bother me. I can walk right over those waves. It does. I'm God. I'm Jesus. I'll be there. I'm going to walk right on by them, but I love them so much, I am going to stop in the middle of the sea, and there's going to be an event there. Just like with us, God thinks in timing. We think in panic. God's timing is, I will show up exactly when you need me to be. I left 6 hours later, but I showed up right when you needed me to be there. Even though I wasn't going to stop, you needed me to stop, I stopped. Just like in our lives, folks. What about this? Matthew 9, 9 through 13, Jesus calls Matthew from being a tax collector into the ministry. What was Matthew thinking at that time? Here's what he was thinking. Why would a holy teacher call me a tax collector? I'm a nobody. Jesus starts thinking differently. He thinks, I came for everybody. I don't care who you are. Just like today, folks. Mark 10, 35 through 45, James and John asked Jesus if they could sit at his right hand in his kingdom. Wow. Their thinking was, we want position of greatness with Jesus in his kingdom. And Jesus is thinking greatness comes through servanthood, not position. This church is going to elect 4 board members today at our annual business luncheon. Not one of them think that that position gives them anything, or we would not allow them to run. Did you hear what I said? This is a perfect example. They're there and they're running because they're there to serve. Serve who? You. The body of Christ. And if someone says, I want to be there for the position, they're not going to be there because that's not what Jesus wants. So he looks at these two and says, whoa, wait a minute. Right? Our natural way of thinking is not how God thinks. We think selfish, fearful, or limited, but God thinks sacrificially faithful and sufficient. That's why in Isaiah 55:8 it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? My ways aren't your ways. I think different than you. So church, I'm thinking our thoughts have got to align with how Jesus thinks. And it's not about position in a church. It's about serving in a church. We think different. The way we think affects the way we live. If our thinking is off, our lives are off. Right? Let me give you 3 specific ways that our thoughts differ from God's. See, we as people, we think in short term. God thinks long term. We think, what have you done for me lately? Just like the Israelites coming out of Egypt, you know, what have you done for me lately? I know you did all these things, just like I talked about, all these things, but I'm thirsty now. What have you done for me lately? Because I need some water. Right? We focus on the immediate. God sees the bigger picture. Genesis 16 through 18, Abraham and Sarah, we've used this before. Lots of stories I want to show. In the short term, this couple wanted to have some kids. They were well advanced in age. They couldn't wait on God anymore, even though God was thinking big. His thinking was different than theirs. He told them to wait, and they couldn't wait. So they went out, and Abraham had a child with his maidservant, right? The timing was off. The thinking was off. God was long-term. He says, listen, I want to make you a great nation, but I didn't want you to have a child with her. I wanted you to think different and trust me and not test me. He didn't. He didn't trust them. We think different. See, we don't ask, how can I fix this now? We should ask, what could God be doing down the road in my life? Right? We think comfort, desire, and success, while God thinks love, service, and sacrifice. What about Mark 10, 35 through 45 again? James and John's request that I just mentioned, right? Let me show you what I just mentioned of how we think. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, Jesus. They said, teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Oh, I'm going to stop right there. Selfish, self-centered, Jesus, I want you to do whatever I want you to do. That's exactly how a lot of us go to Jesus on the throne of the living God. We just, Jesus, you got to do this for me. This is how I think. You just got to do it. You have to do it for me. It says, Jesus, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Whoa. Jesus doesn't think like that. But look at his response. Okay, what do you want me to do for you? He's giving them the opportunity to think different. To change the way they think right in that moment. Jesus should have said, what? You have no idea what you're asking, because that's what he says later. You have no idea what you're asking. But he gives them the opportunity. He gives them the out to change the way they think. Their thoughts got to change. I'm going to give them the opportunity to change it. So he says to them, okay, what do you want me to do for you? They didn't change a thing, right? They replied, let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory, your kingdom. The most selfish thinking we can ever even imagine, right? We are so good. We are so close to you. We are on the same level as you, Jesus, that you should place us on the left and on your right. Because that's how good we are. That's not the kind of thinking that Jesus teaches us. He teaches us sacrifice and servanthood, not position. On the left and right side of Jesus is position. He wants to see them serve and sacrifice. Why? That's more important than position. That's a different kind of thinking, folks. Jesus thinks differently. Jesus thinks sacrificially and servanthood. Sit on my right and left hand. I'm sitting on the right hand of my Father. That would mean one of you would be sitting in my Father's chair, is what the Bible says. Right? Bible says Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. And these two guys want him to put him on the right and on the left. That means I'm going to sit on the throne of the living God. Church, think different. We ain't worthy to sit there. But Jesus says, some sacrifice and some servanthood change the way you think. You can come to the Father right through me. Right? That's what it says. Mark 10:43-45. Watch what it says. But among you, it will be different. That means thinking differently, right? It's going to be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be the servant. We have people that want to be board members in this church because God's laying on their heart. If they want to be board members, they have to serve you. Among you, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave to everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve others. He's thinking different. And to give his life as ransom for many. Church, as we wrap up this morning and head to an annual business luncheon to go about the Father's business in this house, don't ask, what's in it for me? Don't think like that ever. We don't say, what's in it for me as believers? We ask, how can I serve others like Jesus? That is your victory. That is where you want to be. Sacrificially serving. Why? Because Jesus thought differently, and that's what he did. So I'm thinking our thoughts have got to continue to change, right? We want to make impact in people's lives and make impact in 2025. We are going to serve them and sacrifice for them to transform them. Does somebody want to think different with your pastor today? Let's bow our hearts and we're going to pray before we dismiss. I want to think like Jesus. I want to think differently. Church, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if that is you today and you say, Pastor, I'm with you. I want to think different. I want to sacrifice. I want to serve. I'm going to do exactly the way Jesus wants me to do it. I'm going to think differently. My thoughts are going to transform. I'm going to be different today. If that is you, slip your hand up. I'm just going to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? That's your pastor. I got to think even more different than I do today. Is there anybody else? This is something that will transform your life. This is a message that you should go back and watch throughout this week and listen on the podcast. We need to get this in our head. We have to sacrifice and serve other people, even when we don't think they're worthy of our sacrifice or our servanthood. Jesus didn't think like that. Thank you for your hands. So let's pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. You saw the hands, many, throughout the worship center. I pray, Lord God, that many raise their hands watching online today. Lord God, I want to thank you that you have changed the way I think. Lord God, I want to thank you that you have changed my thought process, Lord. Lord God, I know it's not an immediate response that I crave sometimes, but Lord God, thank you that sometimes you respond immediately, but most of the time, Lord God, you take me through the process. And I think about it, my thoughts change, and I understand as you teach me something in the bigger picture. Lord God, you saw the hands today in the worship center. Lord God, allow us to think different today. Let us lead the worship center, shut off our devices, and really let this digest inside of us, Lord God. Let this swell up and understand that you want us to sacrifice. You want us to serve. Lord, it's not about position. Lord God, as we raised our hand today in the worship center, I pray, Father, that we are transformed and changed to think different today. That as we go through this series called Thoughts, Lord God, we transform our thoughts so our actions follow them. And I pray for those hands today. I pray for those that didn't. Lord God, bless Cross Point Church in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me today. We're going to go out singing. How do we think differently? How are we changing our thought process? It's by the Waymaker, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him praise today, church. Hallelujah. Yeah.